There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is the first ever episode of Athletico Mince. Me and Bob reckon that the podcast doesn't really hit its stride till about episode 8. So if you're starting here at the first one, we'd recommend that maybe give it a miss and go to about episode 8 and go forwards from that. Please come back to this one at some point though, because, you know, it's not that bad.
All right, Bob.
All right, Andy, got to ask you, what was that music you've chosen for the introduction there?
Well, it's kind of to send a message to our Far East listeners from the get-go. I just want to say that we come in peace.
All right.
We mean no harm.
You're trying to attract the yen and that, are you?
Well, why not? That's where the money is these days, isn't it? We daft not do, really.
Yeah, no, big money is in football. You want this to be a big hit over there, do you?
I want a global reach.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you want to become a millionaire?
Well, if I can be.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea.
So I think it's good to see
you. Well, it was very calming and very Eastern friendly, so that's got us off to a good start, thanks.
It has. And welcome to Athletico Mince. It's the football podcast that no one really wanted.
Yeah, and what I wanted to be called, Athletico Parsnips, but carry on.
Well, it's not. It's Athletico Mince.
Oh, I can see you've just read it. Oh, I know it's not.
Well, it's here now. That's what it's called. So you're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. So it just gives people the idea it's going to be a savoury show, and I don't think it is. I think unsavoury is going to be the watchword. Carry on, Andy. Introduce the show.
Anyway, coming up, we're going to discuss the burning issues from this week's football, predominantly the shift towards gentleness that's dominating the Premier League title chase.
Oh, aye.
And we're going to also consider Alan Shearer's wife's bra.
Okay.
We're going to look at Manchester United's new tractor.
Oh, right, a new chat. At last, I hear the Man United fans shout.
Yep. There's a German Division 2 brothel offer.
Rightio.
We'll cover that, hopefully. And there's also the Brazilian player who wets himself before every match.
Yeah.
And using the input of our Twitter followers to construct the ultimate gruesome footballer.
Rightio.
That, Bob,
is
the Athletico Mince way of doing things.
Okay, well, can I first of all say, I was hoping you were going to allow me to ask the burning question, have you ever met a footballer? Because I wanted people to know that my authority to speak on the subject matter of football comes from the fact that I have met a footballer.
How many have you met?
I'm for sure I've met over 5 footballers.
Really?
Yeah.
At the same time?
No, at different times. Robbie Fowler,
yeah.
He was awful.
An awful man.
He was terribly, terribly nasty to Matt Lucas, George Dawes.
Was he a brute?
What he said was brutal. Mm-hmm. I couldn't possibly repeat it, but luckily he was with Steve McManaman.
Yeah, that's him.
Steve McManaman?
Yeah.
Steve McManaman, the one who went to Germany? Did he go to Germany, Steve McManaman?
Beer.
Anyway, he was very nice and intervened.
Did he sort of diffuse the situation, did he?
Yeah, he did. He's a peacemaker, yeah.
Good.
But one night, I think my best meet was Chris Kamara. He's an ex-Middlesbrough player, now does the Sky Sports.
And the thing on ITV with the ninjas.
Oh, yeah, which, of course, maybe, you know, that's nice and friendly to the Far East. With what show was that? The Ninjas?
The Ninjas.
Yeah, they'll like that over there.
Ninja Challenge.
Ninja Challenge. And, yeah, so I met him, but it was in very unusual circumstances. I promise I'll keep it brief, because I know you've got your menu to get through. But I was in a hotel bar in Manchester, and Hurricane Higgins, the snooker player, wanted to have a fight with me.
Now deceased.
Next to me was Noddy Holder from Slade, who was intervening in the scrap.
In a similar way to McManaman.
Yes, so reconciliation, peace.
Holder was the peacemaker.
Yeah, he was the peacemaker. As this was happening, Mark Lamar fell through the ceiling of the bar.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. And at that same time, Chris Kamara, who'd been out drinking with us earlier, came through the bar doors and said, "What do you want me to sing?" And yeah, but anyway, so I've got that on the system. We can return to your menu.
Maybe that's two of the five footballers you've met covered in one anecdote.
Yeah.
We'll move on to another one next week.
If you run out of time today, Andy, I've got quite a charming little story about the Brazilian footballer Emerson.
Have you?
And the night that I had salsa dancing.
With his wet perm that he had. Did he have that at the
not
time?
Not wet to the touch, though, Andy.
Was it not? Was it solid?
Solid as a rock.
You'd bounce a pencil off it.
It was
you?
The same glisten that you get from Corian, you know, your work surface.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice. Anyway, who's the gentlest manager in the Premier League, Bob?
Well, now, I wonder.
Come on,
I
mean, off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say Ranieri.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very good with names.
But there's him. Any others you can think of?
I mean, we're guessing to an extent Pochettini.
Yeah. Pochettino. Both of them, think about it, right? Both of them, very gentle, very tender men.
Yeah.
Very softly spoken. And look at where they are on the league table.
Oh, I thought you were... I wondered where you were going. I thought you were going to...
This is my theory.
Love to them.
No, this is my theory.
All right.
We're witnessing a sea change in football management, and that we've got two of the gentlest managers possibly ever ahead of the pack.
No, that actually... Do you know what, Andy? That is actually quite interesting. Because it could be the case that these footballers no longer willing to respond to the hard knock manager. Maybe there's been
The sock full of pool balls.
All that business, the hairdressers, hair dryers, and all that business. I'm not drunk, Andy. You're looking at me like I'm drunk. It's the middle of the afternoon.
Which is why I'm assuming that you're drunk.
Well, do you know what? You've piqued my interest there, Andy. There might be something in that.
Do you reckon?
Well,
I thought I'd come with something. I'd come with some kind of agenda.
Nigel Pearson, I can remember him as a player. It was after the cup final that Middlesbrough played in, marching down to the toilets and threatening Ravenelli and throwing Ravenelli out of the hotel, saying he wasn't welcome at the post-cup celebrations.
Why was that then? A personal vendetta?
No, Ravenelli went off after about 13 minutes pretending to be injured.
Right.
And I think everyone thought he was, you know, what would you call it, on the... What would be a phrase when you're...
Skiving?
Yeah, but being a bit of a twister.
Taking the piss.
Taking the piss. So he's an hard knock one. Yeah, and he likes to offer out members of the crowd.
And he does.
Though.
And he has laid the foundations for Ranieri's success this season.
Yeah.
And he's the complete opposite.
Right.
So what does that tell us?
So they have responded to this gentle, charming touch.
Pearson got them so far with the sock full of pool balls.
Yeah.
And now Ranieri, with his winning smile.
Yeah.
And his friendly manner.
His gentle ways, yeah. He's like a fur coat for them in the wintertime, isn't he?
He is.
That they all creep out of, come out of the pockets and the sleeves.
Yeah.
Go and play terrifically.
Yeah.
Do you want them to win the championship, the Premiership?
I think I do now.
Yeah?
I've got objections.
List your objections.
Objection number one is the markings on the pitch.
Yeah,
they're
accepted.
A little bit accepted. Too elaborate.
Yeah.
And objection number two is that cardboard clappy thing that all their fans have got.
Yeah.
They should have had point stock for that, to be honest.
Two very, very genuine objections there, Andy. But I'd like them to win it, I think.
But putting all that aside, I would like them to win it.
Yeah.
Getting back to Pearson, if you think about it,
yeah,
all of this Leicester thing has all been triggered by a racist orgy last summer.
And where was that, the one in Thailand?
Where Nigel Pearson's son took part. And that is what has... It's all snowballed
catapulted
from that.
This whole thing.
It was the catalyst of the gentle...
What did he do? He made racist comments as he was filming something, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah. I think he performed an act of racist intercourse.
Yeah, I don't quite know how that works.
Well, I'm not going to go into it because for legal reasons. And
no, but who could have known? So that is incredible, isn't it? That
it is.
Was the start of this march to success. That is, no, that's quite a thought. But, I mean, you have to be cautious. Because I'll ask you this: the Watford manager,
Kike Flores,
yeah. What do you think? Do you think he looks gentle, vicious, middle for diddle? What do you reckon?
I reckon he's gentle 95% of the time, but if he goes, he goes hard.
Rightio. And he's achieved medium success?
Yeah.
So, right, he doesn't prove anything.
And I don't know if he's gone yet. I don't know if the Watford players have seen him in full flow, sort of like chucking daggers around the dressing room and stuff. I think he'd probably have a flamethrower as well.
Okay, well, let's look at it from the other way then. Who's not succeeding? Your manager, Sunderland's manager, Sam Allardyce?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Well, that's not really his fault.
No, but is he gentle or is he, you know...
He's a lot more gentle than you'd imagine.
Yeah?
Because Allardyce is into statistics.
Right.
And I think he's into mood.
Yeah?
I think he probably gives them herbal medications.
Well, you surprised me. I'd have thought he'd have been a right bastard.
No, you'd think so, but I don't think he is. It's the statistics thing that he's into.
Well, that doesn't help your argument then, Andy, does it? Because they're failing. Obviously, I'm very distressed by that. I'm just saying. Who have you got? You've got McLaren down the bottom.
Is he gentle? Is he a tender man? Is he a kind man?
If you ask me, if you sum it up, I reckon a sulker.
You reckon?
A sulker, yeah.
Silent treatment.
Silent
one
treatment,
of them.
Yeah, and when you think about it, yeah, but players aren't going to respond to that ultimately, are they?
Rather than address a problem, he'll just tut and leave the room.
That's what I reckon, yeah.
And then they all feel like they're walking on eggshells all the time.
Yeah, not concentrating on the game, which they clearly are.
There you go, then.
And who have we got right at the bottom?
That's why they're in the mess they're in.
We've got this Lap Van Gaard, fella at Villa.
Remy Gard.
No, he looks gentle, Andy.
He looks out of his depth. I don't think he knows what he's doing.
So you're allowing him to be an exception to your gentle manager's
success? I don't think he's gentle. I think he's bewildered.
Right. Well, you know, if you want to bring this one to an end, all we can say is bewildered managers...
Fail. Gentle, kind, empathetic.
Oh, nice word, yeah.
Managers
succeed.
That's the way it's going, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, maybe the natural progression of that is for there to be a female manager. You know what I mean?
Well, it's International Women's Day today, so...
That's a good...
How far away are we from an international manager being a woman?
Being a woman.
Being an international woman, yeah. Even. Who do you think will be in the running for that?
To be the first professional kind of female football manager, Claire Balding.
Right. She's not really international, though. She's called domestic.
Oh, well, you shouldn't know. What I've done is I've completely rejected your idea of the international prefix. Right. I'm just going for a first.
The first woman you can think
for
of.
Woman, and I think Claire Balding.
Right.
What about you?
Fern Britton. She's the one from Radio 1, isn't she? No, Fern Cotton. No, not her, Fern Britton.
Any of the Ferns?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Well, hedging me bets with a Fern.
Who's Phil Vickery married to?
It's her, isn't it?
All right, yeah, it could work.
Like a husband and wife duo?
Yeah.
That's a bit sexist, though, isn't it? You're just sort of presuming that she'd need a fella alongside to hold a hand.
No, I'm not...
On the managerial ladder.
I've just seen his physique, and I think that he'll be having him on tap...
Yeah.
For advice about the physical fitness in the team.
And nutrition.
Nutrition is a great idea.
So we're looking at Phil Vickery and Fern Britton. Fern Cotton can come
along as well to make it feel like a family club, do you know what I mean? Mum, dad and daughter.
She could be like the rebellious daughter, couldn't she?
Yeah, and they could have a dog as well, a great big daft poodle.
Sounds like a sitcom, this, doesn't it?
Yeah, they could colour the poodle the same as the home kit. That kind of thing.
Nice. I think we've covered that, have we? Have we covered all that now?
Well, yeah, I think we've covered it.
That was my theory. You asked us to come in with a theory, didn't you?
I mean, it's a little bit weak because, like, for example, it may be the case that Chris Evans, say, or James Corden and that, it may be the case that they're not as nice as they appear on the screen, like, you know, like the boys next door. Well, it could be that they're absolutely horrendous, nasty people.
But they both come across as such... Such nice types.
Yeah, and I'm saying Ranieri might be pulling that trick on us.
Right.
So I think your science is right. I don't think we know whether...
So you think Ranieri could actually be capable of things that we probably shouldn't discuss any further?
Exactly.
For many reasons.
So yeah, go and work on that one.
Okay, I'll come back to you on that one next week.
See how that works for you.
Have you ever met a footballer, Bob?
Yeah. Told you earlier, I'm Chris Kamara.
Oh, you did, yeah. Sorry about that.
No, I've met more. If you want, have you ever met a footballer?
I nearly met one once.
All right. This sounds like a good story.
Do you remember Gary Rowell?
Yeah, I remember Gary Rowell.
Sunderland player, and he played for Borough for a while, didn't he?
Yeah.
Late 70s, early 80s. Yeah. He was my hero.
Right.
And in the little village that I lived in, near Sunderland, when I was about 9, there was a new fruit and veg shop
right.
that was opening up, and Gary Rowell came to do the honours.
Yeah.
Cut the tape. I declare this fruit and veg shop open for business.
Yeah.
And I was too scared to go.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting, that, Andy.
So my mum went instead.
Yeah.
Got an autograph, and I bottled it.
No, well, it just shows your passion for the game, you see.
Thanks.
I went up with the BBC Two to do a programme about Middlesbrough. It was a half-hour programme presented by someone who used to be in Brookside. Ring a bell? Simon,
yeah,
someone?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And so we got there and we're filming.
Ricky Tomlinson.
Yeah. Sinbad. And we got to Middlesbrough football ground. It was Paul Wilkinson, our centre forward at the time. And they said, right, Bob, go and say hello. We need to film this. And like you, I bottled it. I said, I'm really sorry. I know you've brought me all the way up here. But I'm too scared to go and say
how
hello.
Old were you? Were you like 9 or 10 then?
No, this was, I was filming for them. This was.
Oh, you were a grown man?
Grown man, yeah. But
fully formed adult.
Since then,
scared.
I'll approach Paul Wilkinson. Yeah, I'll approach any footballer. Absolutely anyone.
Try and start a fight and then wait and see who wades into break it up.
Actually, I might not approach. Is he called Flanagan? Liverpool right back.
John Flanagan, yeah.
I don't think I'd approach him.
I wouldn't recognise him.
Yeah, I wouldn't approach him. I've got various worries about his face.
I wouldn't recognise him if he was on fire in my garden.
Okay.
But that's just me.
So what's next, Andy?
There's this thing. Manchester United have got an official tractor supplier now.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's been a lot of unofficial Manchester United tractors.
Yeah.
Down the years.
Yeah.
A lot of confusion among the fans.
Yeah.
And especially because, you know, they're a global brand now. Tractors are different from country to country, aren't they?
Yeah.
It depends where you go. Different needs, different functions.
Yeah. But mainly people want to buy the official one.
People want the official one, don't they? People don't want to buy a snide tractor, like, outside the ground.
Exactly,
by some bloke who's just come along and he's selling them.
Yeah, they don't want to be able to say to the neighbouring farmers, see them turnips or them beets.
Yeah.
They were pulled up by the official tractor of Manchester United.
Yeah, exactly. And now, finally, the powers that be at Old Trafford have got their act together and they've got an official tractor.
Okay, and you've got a picture of it there, haven't you?
I have, but this is an audio thing, I can't really...
Yeah. But suffice to say, it's a beautiful red tractor.
It is. And it's got Dwight York standing next to it as well.
Shit.
Dwight York's gone all the way to Thailand.
Yeah.
To launch.
Nice mention for our friends in the Far East there.
Oh, yeah, isn't it? Shall we just drop the music in again just for a few seconds and just reflect on that? That was nice. So, getting back to the tractor, Dwight York's gone to Thailand.
Yeah.
He's not an official Man United player anymore, but he must have some kind of ambassadorial, agricultural role within the club. He's gone there. He's done what Gary Rowell did at the fruit and veg shop for me.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't there, but, you know, cut the tape.
Yeah.
Et voila.
The Man United tractor.
Le tracteur.
Yeah. Get cultivating all my new vans. See, I mind you, like you'd like to arrive at Old Trafford in the tractor, wouldn't you? Would you? I'm just saying. I think you would.
I think that would be dangerous. You'd have kids hanging off it and stuff.
Exactly.
If you were Dwight York?
No, I'm just saying.
Just a regular fan.
See, look, I'm taking this on face value. I don't know whether you're having me on here, Andy. So they're now available,
what
the
would
official
I be having
Man
about?
United tractor. So
it's there. You've just looked at the picture. Okay. It's an official Man United tractor. It's got Dwight York next to it. How much more official do you want it to be?
Can you buy anything but a red tractor, to be honest?
You get green ones.
Oh, can you?
John Deere, they're green, aren't they?
So I'd like to turn up to show the club that I've spent up on the official tractor. You surprise me. You just want to put it in the garage and leave it there.
Well, you wouldn't park it outside Old Trafford, would you?
It's ideal.
The traffic's horrendous on match days.
Oh, okay.
You'd probably park it at Salford Quays and then walk across.
What is it that they hope? What do Manchester hope? No, it's the hope is that is...
The hope that kills you.
It's the hope is the manufacturer that people will buy, obviously.
Yeah, it's a company called Yanmar.
Yeah.
And they are now the official global agricultural machinery partner of Manchester United.
Okay, so
they've got the world, the known world.
Yeah.
You know, might be bits of it we haven't discovered yet.
So what is this section of the show? You're basically doing an advert for Yanmar.
Basically. We've got to make some money out of this, haven't we?
Fair enough. Next thing, I'm sorry, you've suckered me right into that.
We could talk about Alan Shearer's wife's bra if you want.
Well, you obviously want to.
It's International Women's Day.
Yeah.
You say, why not?
So this is because Lineker said he'll do the match of the day naked if Leicester win.
If Leicester, led by the gentle, or maybe not so gentle, Ranieri, win the Premier League, Gary Lineker has said that he will present match of the day in his undercrackers.
Rightio.
Now, Alan Shearer,
fresh
from a 72-hour non-stop five-a-side spot relief fiasco, then chirped up and said, I'll lend you one of Miss Shearer's bras to wear with the pants.
Implicitly suggesting that Gary has got tits.
Suggesting that A, he's got tits, B, he's into wearing women's underwear.
Why didn't we call this podcast Gary Lineker's Tits?
Because it'd be too long for a Twitter handle.
No, it's all back to that again. How's that working for you?
It's Brandon.
How's it working for you in this life? All right.
Athletic or mince, what's wrong with that?
Well, it's happening before our very eyes. So, well, I don't know what you want me to say about this because it was a joke that I didn't really get. Because
I just found it unsettling.
Just having it.
I wanted it on the record.
That you found it unsettling?
Just that it happened, just in case.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Andy Dawson finds the idea of Alan Shearer's wife's bra very upsetting. Do you find the thought of all bras upsetting?
Not really.
Not really, it's Alan Shearer's wife.
It's about context, isn't it?
Mm.
If she was wearing it, you know, all right, but I wouldn't seek it out.
Okay.
But if Gary Lineker's got it on, you know, who's that going to help?
Well, I mean, it takes away some of the gravitas from Match of the Day. Doesn't it?
I would rather see Match of the Day presented by Gary Lineker just in underpants with his tits on show.
Yeah. So you're as bad as Shearer. You reckon he's got tits?
I'm not as bad as Shearer because Shearer's trying to cover them up.
Can a man have tits? I suppose he can have tits.
I've got tits, Bob.
You've got tits?
I've got tits. I'm not ashamed to say that.
But Lineker won't have tits. Or would you just say he has? He's just flat-chested.
Yeah. They'd be quite muscular.
Yeah.
But they'd be very pronounced.
Yeah, I bet he shaves his tits as well.
Yeah, probably. Or just leaves a little circle around the nipple.
Maybe, just for masculinity's sake.
Yeah, just a little circle of hair.
So he'll lay in the bath, get his chin right down so he can see his nips.
Yeah.
Put the cream on.
Yeah.
You like this, don't you, Andy?
Yeah.
He'll rub the cream in and then shave his chest, but just leave that little... Well, it's a sort of area where you shoot grouse, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little... What do you call it? A
target.
Oh, God. I wish I'd done this show with someone with more knowledge of agriculture.
A couple of weeks ago, do you remember when we asked people on Twitter how to make the most gruesome footballer imaginable?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We asked them to suggest some body parts.
Well, that's because, yes, it's like, it comes through like Ivanovic's arse. Stunning.
Yeah.
High, solid, incredible mass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could add, I'll just start the ball rolling. You could start with that arse and Courtois' neck.
But that his arse isn't gruesome, though, is it?
No,
we were looking for gruesome.
Power? Oh, you want gruesome
arse? That's
arses.
What we asked for. We asked for gruesome, not...
No, I wasn't looking out for gruesome arses. It's not what I do when I'm sat watching the telly. Carry on. So what did people suggest?
Well, we had replies from quite a few people. Chase Feely, he said Suarez's teeth.
Yep.
Good start,
yep.
That's going to fill quite a lot of the face up, isn't it?
I'm going to wrap those teeth in Flanagan's gums.
Right.
Thank you.
Back to Flanagan again. Steph Hamilton suggested Brian Kilcline's hair.
Yeah, can't imagine. What does it look like?
Well, it was really long, wasn't it? When he used to play for Newcastle, centre-half. He had it really long in a ponytail. But before that, I think it was permed.
Oh, I remember this character, yeah.
I think he used to live on a barge.
You think that's the most... What are you looking for, grotesque?
This is just what people suggested. I'm not the judge.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I just think the haircuts.
These are just suggestions.
What's the fella from Man City at the back there? Not Demichel, it's the other one.
Otamendi.
He's now put his shaved part in about a millimetre from the middle. Yeah?
Yeah.
So what happens when it actually goes beyond centre point? What is that haircut? Do you know what I mean?
I think it's got a name. I think it's a pioneering haircut. You can only call it the Otamendi, can't you?
So, well, he just has to take another, 4 centimetres, and he'd have created a completely new haircut for the future.
But then there was Iniesta the other week when Arsenal played Barcelona, and he's got something going on where he's got shaved it all apart from this sort of runway on the top of his head.
Well, that's a Mohican, isn't it?
No, but it was too short to be a Mohican. There wasn't enough.
Yeah, no, you couldn't get purchase
on it,
as it were.
Didn't have any body in it. It was just a strip.
Yeah.
Horrific.
Okay,
but
well,
Brian Kilcline, I think, I could be wrong, used to sleep in a coffin.
Oh, rightio.
On a barge.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I probably
feel that sort of David Essex vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he used to solve crimes as well, Andy? Was it Pat Kilbride?
I don't know if Brian Kilcline solved any crimes.
I imagine Stuart Pearce's thighs will be in there, won't they?
They're not on here. No one suggested them. Someone suggested Efan Okoko's perineum.
Okay.
Is that how you pronounce it? Perineum?
Perineum.
Yeah.
The area between is...
Between
is
the scrotal area and the anal area.
Much neglected area, isn't it?
But then someone else, Tommy D84, suggested Tony Yeboah's anus.
And these are your followers, obviously.
How would someone have knowledge of that?
I can't picture Tony Yeboah. I think sometimes you can tell a man's anus from their face. Do you know what I mean?
Facial expressions.
Yeah. I should think that, I'll put it this way, that you have to push really hard. I think it's a tight grip.
It's a trial.
It snaps right back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mine takes an age to snap back.
Does it?
So I have a difficult period between wiping and getting on with my life, where there's still a very slow expulsion. I don't want to make... I need to say seepage, don't I?
A bit of leftovers.
Yeah, so I stand there with my trousers half down, just waiting for that part of the process. Then it doesn't snap shut, it just
like a swing bridge.
Yeah, like a swing bridge or like a winkle going back into its shell, kind of.
Like a level crossing on a railway, yeah, just slowly...
Slowly,
return into
then
position.
A little judder, and it's gone.
And then you're back in business.
Back in business. Go in the living room and watch the telly.
What if you're out and about? Do you make time in your schedule to?
I don't want to talk about. I'm going to start talking forever about it if you're not careful, Andy.
Okay.
Because it dominates my life. What's
all right.
So? Was there any other good parts of bodies?
Well, the other one, Stephen R. Moulton suggested Ozil's eyes.
Yeah.
No, I'm not convinced by that because I think his eyes... Do you remember Ivanov, the Bulgarian player?
Yes, I do remember.
He had the look of a village idiot, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And he wore it well.
Yeah. I think Ozil's just kind of paying homage to Ivanov with the eyes, or maybe it's Marty Feldman.
Well, what do you mean you think he's gone into hospital and had it done?
No, I don't think he's gone that far. I just think he's got some kind of suction implement and he just... Before he takes to the field, he'll
suck him out
like a plunger, an eye plunger.
Yeah.
And he'll just enough just to bring them out for the 90 minutes.
Maybe you can see his passes just that slightly more clearly.
That's probably what he's trying to do.
Peripheral vision, do you know what I mean?
Just that little bit extra advantage.
Yeah, you can see Ramsey coming up behind.
Yeah.
And give it him.
And they haven't outlawed that yet.
No.
Perhaps they will eventually, but so far they haven't.
What do you want to move on to then? I don't think that's going anywhere, you know.
Do you not?
Well, if you think there's something, tell me, is there another? You're talking about anuses, perineums.
I'm halfway through doing a Photoshop of all these.
Yeah?
To show you later on.
Right, I'll tell you what, write them out with a quill and I'll consider them. It says Luke Chadwick there. What does people saying about Luke Chadwick?
Just Luke Chadwick, says G. Serge.
I don't know Luke Chadwick. Who was he play for? Bolton?
He was at Manchester United and then he was at... And he slid down the leagues, didn't he? Like an eel.
Okay.
Frank Ribery, in general, someone said, but... he was in a car accident. That's not nice, is it?
That's not nice, but he has got hell of a hooter on him.
Oh, Jesus.
And let's face it, Andy, you know exactly what his anus is like from this look of him.
Yeah.
It's dirty, isn't it?
It's disgusting.
It's his dirty area, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm saying there's something I say.
He probably has to wear a nappy. that leads us on to a Brazilian man.
Yeah. Is he a footballer?
He's a man, yeah. And he's a footballer.
Yeah.
And for every match over the last 8 years,
yes,
he's wet himself before the game.
What, through fear?
No, he's done it voluntarily.
He lets it go down.
Yeah. He did it once accidentally.
Yeah.
And his team won, and he's done it every match since then for 8 years.
Right. And has his team continued to win?
Yes, every single match.
Every single match for 8 years?
No, they haven't. Of course they haven't. That'd be ridiculous.
So, why hasn't he stopped?
Well, I don't know. You ask him.
Well, I can't
Should
ask
we
him.
Should we get him on?
But what does it say? Didn't you also tell me that this is the same man who kicks seven shades out of snakes as well?
One snake, singular. The wetting himself thing, that's a plural. That's an ongoing thing.
Right, you know.
It's called Eder Loco.
Okay.
You must have heard of him.
No, I haven't heard of him, no.
But anyway, wets himself before every match.
Yeah.
Wets himself for every match. But quite recently, a snake got on the pitch, as can probably happen in Brazil.
Yeah.
And while everyone was standing around looking at it and going, whoa, what are we going to do with this?
Yeah.
Eder Loco, his shorts stained and stinking of piss, he just waded into the snake and he just kicked it around the pitch until it was dead.
Oh, dear. I'm glad I wasn't there to see that.
What do you reckon of that then?
Well, I don't.
He's got a lot of problems, hasn't he?
People are fooling with snakes, aren't they? Do you watch The Snake Hunter on Discovery Channel or wherever it is?
No.
Deep down in the menu, past the yachts meandering around. And
803, one of them.
Something like that.
And no, I've not seen it.
He fights black mamba. He don't fight them. But if you've got a black mamba or a spitting cobra or whatever in your house, he'll come and rescue it because he thinks he loves them. He loves his snakes.
Does he?
Yeah.
He'll take it away and sort of add it to his collection, will he?
Do you know about the black mamba?
I'm not familiar with the black mamba.
The black mamba, it grows up to 13 feet, yeah? And it can run 2/3 of its body upright, 1/3
What does
of its
it run
body,
on?
On the 1/3 that it leaves on the ground. And it can run up to 20 miles an hour.
Got legs?
No, imagine just the snake. He puts 2/3 of his body upright, yeah. And then the final third he uses like this.
Slithers
at 20 miles an hour, chases you. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead within 10 minutes if you're
unlucky. I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't stand for that.
The black mamba.
Nah.
It's a grey snake, but when it opens his mouth, it's deep, dark black.
Where do they have them then? Down south?
So,
is it a London snake?
Yeah, it's on County Surrey, Guildford, that road there. South Africa.
Right.
And so there you go.
God, they had a World Cup there, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Jesus.
Do you know one of those grounds?
I bet they didn't put it in the bid.
You know the ground where the first match that England played there? Do you know that's a car park now?
Is it?
It's a bit sad, isn't it?
It is. The World Cup venue should be restored for forever.
Yeah, but it really does. It's, you know, it's
well,
you know, the corruption and that.
Roker Park, 1966, that was a World Cup ground.
Yeah.
That's a housing estate now.
Ayrton Park was a World Cup ground.
What's that now?
In fact, Ayrton Park, of course, was the venue of South Korea beating Italy in that extraordinary match, which was the first football match I ever went to. And that's houses now.
You've mentioned that. That's just going to infuriate Kim Jong-il, because he'll be listening to this.
Okay. I'd like to withdraw that. Immediately. And I wonder if Kim's listening, if he might like to listen to this little bit of music that we've got.
Yeah, here we go. Uh, Yeah, that was better.
That's nice.
You think that soothed him?
I hope so.
God. Shall we clumsily move on to something else?
Yeah, please.
No, I haven't got anything else. I think that's about it.
That's all you want to talk about?
No, there is, though. Hang on, there is.
Yeah.
And this doesn't really tie in very nicely with International Women's Day.
But?
This is a bad thing. There's a German club in the second division.
Right.
SV Sandhausen.
Yeah.
And they've got a sponsorship deal. It's not for tractors. It's for hookers.
So explain how that works.
What they're doing is they've got a commercial partnership deal with a local brothel.
Yeah.
Called the Beehive.
Right. It's a nice name, isn't it?
It sounds enticing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's evocative of the summer, of the Beehive haircut, of dancers at the
honey.
Local hop. Honey, everything, yeah.
But it's a knock-in shop.
Rightio.
And fans of the club can get a discount if they go along.
Right, and produce, arrive in their tractor that they've
bought. Arrive in the official club tractor. Wave their season ticket in the air.
Yeah, say, so let's do one.
let's go.
Yeah.
Time to dance.
Well, I don't know what you, I mean, different a different attitude towards that sort of thing in Germany, isn't there?
There is, to be fair.
I mean, I know you find it shocking.
I'm appalled by it.
Yeah, I can see you're absolutely appalled. That's an interesting one, that.
But it's also supposedly the most environmentally conscious brothel in the world.
Right.
The manager,
yeah,
Jürgen Mach, says they are a very serious partner. Alcohol and cigarettes are regularly promoted by other clubs. At least Bienenstock is good for the environment.
I applaud that. He's quite right.
He hasn't explained how, though, has he?
Do you know when...
Maybe they just recycle. Maybe his other brothels don't recycle and they've got quite a proactive recycling policy.
Yeah, it could just be that. Do you know that on these advert strips around the grounds,
yeah,
there's one that's got a little doggy on it?
I've seen that. I find that too distracting.
It is distracting, isn't it? But you can catch your in-laws out with it, you know, if they're a bit older and say there's a dog on the pitch.
Right. Have you done that?
Yeah.
I'm sure loads of
people have done it.
Has it just got to be in-laws?
They've got to be a certain age, yeah.
Not a blood relative. It's got to be somebody distanced from.
Yeah, but can you tell me what it's advertising? That's the thing, isn't it?
Dogs Trust?
Is that what you reckon?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not advertising black dogs, is it?
No.
So, but it could be. It's just interesting, isn't it? People hire these. I looked into hiring one. You know, the championship clubs now occasionally hire a mobile one of those things to go around the pitch if they're on telly. £20,000.
That's outrageous.
I bet they
are. To advertise black dogs. Actually, we could probably do. We're getting some sponsorship on this, couldn't we?
Well, would you like to sponsor
it? Black dogs.
The Black Dogs Organisation.
Sponsored by the Black Dog Federation of.
What's the? I suppose the most famous black dog would be the Labrador.
Just the breed. I thought you were going to say a specific black dog.
Oh, a specific black dog. I can't think of a black. Greyfriars Bobby was grey, wasn't he? Lassie was like brown and black.
Has there ever been a famous black dog?
Sooty? No, he's not black, is he? Is Sooty black? Actually, Sooty's a puppet. He's not a dog, is he? He's actually a puppet.
Bear, and he's a puppet.
He's a puppet, right.
And Sweep is the dog.
Sweep is the dog.
He's not black either.
He's not black. Well, it'll just have to be Black Dog.
Champion the Wonder Horse?
Champion the Wonder Dog. He's a dog, but he's brown.
God.
So it'll have to be on behalf of black dogs generally.
Perhaps that's why they're looking to raise awareness with these adverts at football matches, because not many people are aware that black dogs are a thing.
Yeah. Give us a voice, will you, kids?
Yeah. If anyone's listening to this and can think of a famous black dog, let us know.
I'm thinking of a whiskey that maybe has got a black dog on it, but I've stopped thinking about it now, so I've only got that far.
I'm thinking of a Scotsman.
Yeah.
On a heath.
Right.
And he's got a gun.
Yeah.
And
he's got a black dog next to him. Well, that's what you're doing tonight,
though. And he's got a black dog next to him.
And where are we? And is this in a movie, in an advert, or
this is just in my imagination?
Alrighty-o.
I just wanted to try and think of a black dog.
No, well, how unusual it would be if there isn't a famous black dog, Andy. How unusual it would be. Who do you want to win this Premiership? You've told me Leicester. I do apologise.
I think Leicester.
Who do you think? Do you think Sunderland and Middlesbrough are going to be in the same or different divisions next year?
I think they're going to be both in the Premier League.
Oh, that would be nice.
But that's as much about my hatred of Newcastle United as it is of any faith in Sunderland.
Why hate? Why do you hate Newcastle United?
What's to love about them?
But I'm a Sunderland
fan. I'm supposed to hate them. Is hate a bad thing?
No, I think you're supposed to love your own club. I don't see why would you.
Are you not allowed to hate your rivals? You haven't really got any rivals at Middlesbrough, have you? I mean, you've got Sunderland and Newcastle, but we don't give a monkey's about you.
Well, I suppose Leeds is our main rivalry.
Why would Leeds care about you?
Leeds care about us, I'll tell you. Oh, yeah. They think about nothing else.
Really?
Yeah, because they're seeing their demise correspond with our rise.
Right.
And I suppose that irritates them. I mean, I feel very sorry for Leeds supporters. It's a great club. I remember the great days. But I just don't understand. Why do I... If I'm going to support... If I get one of my kids and they say, Dad, I'm going to support Rotherham.
Yeah.
Why is part of the package for me to say, in that case, you must hate?
Is there a package? Well, like a dossier?
Well, it seems it sometimes...
When you start supporting a club, you get handed a dossier and you say, the name of your team... Is Middlesbrough.
Their nickname.
Their nickname, their club colours, founded 18 whenever.
Yeah.
Honours, not many.
Yeah.
Manager, this week it's Karanka.
Yeah.
Hate figure, Leeds United. But you just have question marks there, wouldn't you? Because
it comes down from the terraces, doesn't it? You got your first match and they'll be singing, we hate Leeds scum or we hate Sunderland or whatever.
You've just answered your own question there. Why hate? Why not?
Oh, well, if it's why not, yeah, why not go out and start putting leeches on old people?
Or black dogs.
Yeah, you know, I just don't understand it. All that. Of course, there is one exception, which is Chelsea.
Well, of course. Perhaps then you fit into this gentle category that we've been discussing today.
Yeah.
And you are a gentleman.
Gentleman, thank you for that, Andy.
Possibly.
I'm glad you've noticed.
You don't subscribe to the hate thing quite as much as I do, but I'm a bit younger than you, and I've got a lot of insecurities.
Okay.
And perhaps that's where the hate comes from.
So, well, I do find...
Life hasn't been kind to me, Bob.
Yeah, well, I can see looking at you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've got a lot of issues with a lot of people.
Well, if it helps you to hate Newcastle United...
And tits.
And you have to carry those around with you. If it helps you to hate them, get through these troubled times, then of course I understand. But generally speaking, it's not for me. I went fishing last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you catch?
I caught a trout. Two and a half pound trout.
Just one?
Yeah.
It's a waste of time, wasn't it?
No, I caught three grayling as well. I just got one trout.
What did you do with it? Chuck it back?
Yeah, chucked it straight back.
You're lying. I can tell you're lying. You hesitated there.
No, I did. I chucked it back. I didn't chuck it back. I gently lowered it back into the water.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. And
put it in a pie.
Put a trout pie?
Yeah.
What, a sticky trout pie from Iceland?
Yeah.
That's probably what you eat, actually. Is there a big Iceland in Sunderland?
Hey, did you know? There's a couple of decent ones.
I bet there is.
Yeah.
I bet there's an Iceland every 100 yards in Sunderland.
And there's, you can get a lobster for $3.99. In Lidl at the minute.
But have you tried to purchase one, Andy?
No.
Because I've heard a rumour that the Iceland Christmas lobster, and I'm suspicious it might be the same with this Lidl spring lobster, shall we call it?
Yeah.
We're into March now. That you actually go down and there was only ever 10 available.
Ah, right.
At that store. So you'll never actually be able to purchase one.
Like the 30 quid tellies... In Asda on Black Friday.
Yeah, because it's an extraordinary offer, $3.99 for a lobster. And you think it through. I thought maybe they were genetically engineered.
No, they're from Canada.
They're from Canada?
Yeah.
Well, you look so happy when you were thinking of Canadian lobster. I prefer tinned salmon to fresh, I've got to be honest.
Do you? Do you like smoked salmon?
It's all right, isn't it? It's all right.
In small doses?
Yeah, I'll have a little nibble on it.
Whatchamacallit, one of them things you have at parties.
Yeah, a true font.
Yeah.
I think they call them true fonts. I do like tinned salmon. So, where are we at now, Andy? Are we bringing this to an end?
Well, I've just got what kind of fish products do you like on the list of things that we're going to talk about?
Oh, okay.
We should, because we got people to suggest a gruesome footballer for us. We should get people to answer another question in the hope that they'll listen again next week.
Yeah, and find an answer to it.
And. I was quite tickled by the Barnsley. I wasn't a Barnsley fan, was it?
It was Barnsley fan. It was the away end, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
And he took a hamster in his hood.
In the hood of his hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone sang at the hamster.
And of course, the RSPCA aren't happy with it. Well, although the surrounding support said that the hamster looked really happy.
I think the RSPCA haven't actually commented yet.
Right.
It was the National Hamster Council.
Very different organisation.
They're quite militant.
They are militant, yeah.
They were straight out on the offensive, condemning the hamster thing.
Yeah.
Hector the hamster, he was.
Right.
He was called. No, I'm sorry, the RSPCA have denounced it. I'm just hearing
it's
now.
Just coming in, is
just
it?
Just coming in right now. The RSPCA have denounced it. But the National Hamster Council, obviously, straight out the blocks, you know, within minutes of the footage appearing. Yeah.
I always think with the National Hamster Council, you know, they do overreact. They just want to take a breath sometimes, don't you think, with them?
Well, kind of, but, you know, they haven't got much to do, have they? There's not a lot of hamster abuse going on.
Well,
and when some does happen and it's as apparent as that was, and as brazen as that was, you can't blame them.
I mean, I think the story's, you know, it's because of that alliteration, hamster in a hoodie.
Yeah.
I think that's what's brought it to everyone's
attention. Hector the hamster in a hoodie. Beautiful, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it had been, I don't know, called Jeff Briefcase or whatever.
Yeah.
Colin Broadcast.
If it was a briefcase.
No, if his name was Colin Broadcast in a hoodie, not even in a hoodie.
In a briefcase.
In a jacket. It just wouldn't have flown, and it's really flown.
It's captured the imagination, hasn't it, of the nation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what next week, I think I'm willing to reveal that I have a secret move that you can carry out in the penalty area, which guarantees either the scoring of a goal or the awarding of a penalty.
Right.
However, for the last 24 years, I have been paid an annuity by the Football League to keep my mouth shut about it.
Really?
Next week, I'm willing to, at the very least, give enough information that you might be able to work out what that move is.
Are you now financially comfortable enough
to feel
that you can snub their annuity and reveal what it was?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of my my budgeting was based on me being able to buy lobsters at $3.99.
Right, but you might have to do with tin salmon instead.
But I might have to, if I have tin salmon, I can survive without that annuity.
Or go out and catch more trout.
Yeah, for example. And I might be, I think I'll reveal enough information next week so that...
Could this rock the world of football? Could it turn
It finishes football, yeah.
See, now, I was just about to say to people, if you can tell us what's the weirdest thing you've ever brought into a football ground, like a hamster, that would be a kind of a neat, fun thing.
Okay,
and then you've just stepped all over that and gone, next week, tune in, boys and girls, I'm going to end football.
Yeah, but hold on, we've doubled up. We've doubled up because you can find out how football might end, and also you can contribute with stories of the strangest thing you've seen at a football match.
Could be too much, so it must be one or the other.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's been Athletic Old Mince then.
Yeah.
Episode one.
I've enjoyed hearing what you've had to say. I think
it's been all right.
I was a bit, if you don't mind me saying, Andy, you know, there was a lot of stuff about the commercial side of the game.
Yeah.
And you seem to be wedging in talk of the nether regions.
Do you think it went below the waist a bit too much?
I think you did, Andy, and I think you should reassure the audience that won't happen again.
There was too much tea in here.
Exactly.
So a bit less of that next week.
Yeah, so, and in fact, he's obviously not going to do it, ladies and gentlemen, so I would like to reassure you that should you choose to tune in again, there'll be less of the tea in air.
Right.
Thank you.
I can't guarantee that.
Yeah.
Well, there we go then. You can find us on Twitter at Athletico Mince.
Yeah.
And just, you know, get on there and just say stuff to us.
Yeah, and we'll just steal it. Yeah,
we'll fill up next week's show with it. Because we're like that.
Right, well, let's thank everyone for listening, Andy.
Thanks, everyone. Sorry about the tea in here.
Sorry about
the
tea in
here. Try and tone it down a bit next week.
I hope you've learned something useful.
And next week, could you not wear them cat's whiskers that you've got stuck on your face?
I thought they'd cheer you right up.
I found them a bit off-putting.
Yeah, okay, now I know I won't wear them.
All right, thanks, Bob.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.